going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
So Ja obviously has been on a tear this season, and Stephen A. said a few weeks ago that he could be the next AI. Russo, do you agree with him that Ja could be the next Allen Iverson?
He's better than Allen Iverson. I mean, because he makes a lot of people around him better. I mean, Iverson was a wonderful competitor, and he was he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a transcendent star. He's not a guy that is going to make a cast of characters around him on this level. Morant can do that. Iverson was a poor shooter, and he was a bad three-point shooter, and he was not great if you look at his shooting percentages in the huge game. Now, listen, he's a Hall of Famer. Nobody's arguing that. Led the league in scoring, the whole nine yards. Morant has got that special quality that has a tendency to make a lot of those guys in that team who want Dylan Brooks, who want great players, to rise them to a level. And he's in a better conference than Iverson was in the old Eastern Conference, which was never great when he played there in the late 90s and early 2000s. If you're asking me right now, who is going to have a better career and who's going to be more transcendent in the NBA, it's not even a contest. Morant is going to be much better than Allen Iverson.
Not even a contest.
I'm not knocking
him. Not even a contest.
Is somebody talking? Oh, a second. Yeah.
What?
What?
What? You came on this show to dispute that blasphemy? Have you... What?
What?
Let me tell you something, Doug, if I was in there, listen. I'm going to get after this break. I'm warning you right now. I'm going to give you after this break, I'm going to call South Street Seaport. I'm going to call security to have you removed from this studio. I can't believe what you just said. You're
Allen
acting like
Iverson.
You're going to disrespect Allen Iverson. The answer, the dude. What? Listen. Didn't you start off this show by telling us to pump the brakes? I sat up there and I talked about get the Elvis billboards down, damn it, and put Ja Morant up. You defended Elvis, but you go knock Allen Iverson? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? Allen Iverson.
Excuse me.
What? Timeout what? What are you talking about?
He's a 40% shooter in postseason. He's 31% from three.
42.
He played the one final and got annihilated by the Lakers.
Time out. Hold on. Allow me to speak. I'm going to calm down because I was shivering with the blasphemy that you were spewing. But let me get this straight.
Was he?
So
blasphemy?
We can look.
Yeah.
No. Stay with me.
All right.
When we were talking about Jerry West is not a part of this conversation. Don't twist it. But when we were talking about Jerry West last week, I brought up the fact that the man had lost eight finals. He won one. You said, so what? It's not about the numbers. It's about what I saw with my eyes, Stevie. That's what you said. You brought up Cousy. You brought up Bob Cousy. It's about what I saw with my eyes, Stevie. It's what I saw with my eyes. Even though he had Russell and Havlicek and all of these boys, Sam Jones and them as his teammates. That's what you said. Okay? Now, we started off the show. And I sat up there and I said about Ja Morant, because number love and respect for Ja Morant. You sat up there and said, to hell with him. I love Elvis. That's what you said. Now here we go to Allen Iverson. This is a 6-foot guard, 160 pounds, soaking wet. Who did he play with, doggy? He was a one-man wrecking crew.
He loved it
went
that way.
10 straight years. Excuse me. Let me finish. He went 10 straight years, averaging more than 26 a game. At least how many seasons did he average over 30? 1, 2, 3, 4 years. He averaged over 30 a game. Everybody was coming at him. He was a one-man wrecking crew. Yeah, you're going to point to the percentage. How many big moments did he show up? There was a lot. You can't count them. He was the man was a miniature dynamo in a land of giants going up against giants. Don't give me some statistics. What did your eyes tell you? The answer. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason, doggy.
Well, we know he's a Hall of Famer.
And guess what?
You got him up there on that level.
Tell me. excuse me. No, what I'm saying to you, listen, the only thing that stopped him from capturing the championship was Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe had to stop him. He took out Big Dog Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell, Ray Allen. He took out Vince Carter, okay? Remember that? He did do that. This Vince is Allen Carter. Iverson that we're talking about here, okay?
Glenn
and all I'm saying to you is this. John Morant, Glenn Robinson could score.
Good player, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Nah, give him credit with credit. Good. I understand that. But I was talking about their team, their crew, coached by George Karl. You remember that, all right? You've interviewed George Karl before. You interviewed Larry Brown before. You know, ask Larry Brown what Allen Iverson was. You know what time it is. You know what time it is. Now, John Morant is a transcendent player, and I think that ultimately he can be that. But what I'm saying is the skill set, the fervor, his willingness to attack, he is very Allen Iverson-like, except bigger. He's bigger. So don't give me, but don't sit up there and try to joke, throw shade on Allen Iverson. 6 foot guard, okay? 160 pounds soaking wet. And his brother going up against giants every day and doing what he did? You lost your mind? Have you lost your mind?
I know you covered him, but I mean, take it easy. I mean, my goodness. We understand.
You talking about my little brother. You talking about my little brother here.
I get it. He's a hell of a player. We don't argue that, but you put him on these levels that are ridiculous. Wes was the MVP of an NBA final. For crying out loud.
Ask the superstars what level they put Allen Iverson on.
They played against them.
Ask them.
That doesn't mean you're right.
Why does it mean you're right? You're not right.
I don't give a damn.
You and your dog pound. Y'all can try that all you want to. It'll work.
Steve, how many finals did he play in?
What?
One. How many
he
games in
one.
The finals? How many games in the finals did he win? The one he played in?
One.
One.
Against Shaq and Kobe with Shaq in his prime.
How many conference finals did he play in? One. So we are going to put a guy who played in one NBA final and got annihilated by the Lakers, granted much better. And we are going to sit there and
come on. Hold on. So we're going to ignore the 40-80 drop in game one. We're going to ignore the 40-80 drop in game one. We're going to ignore how dominant Shaq was and how Shaq delivered that championship. Nobody on the planet can stop Shaquille O'Neal. Come on, doggy.
You can't do that. Every center, Steve.
I mean, I'm a god.
I mean, every center. You know, Wilt didn't play in that era. Shaq beat nobody. There was no Jason Collins for the Nets. There was no centers in the NBA in those days. You know that. You're better than that.
Shaq couldn't be stopped.
This is what drives
me crazy. So now we disrespect the Shaq now. We're saying Shaq didn't have any competition.
You're putting these people on these ridiculous levels.
Shaq is up there. Allen Iverson is all of him, but Shaq is up there. Shaq is up there as the second most dominant big man in the history of basketball behind Wilt Chamberlain.
Is that not true? No, he's I named five
what?
Centers. I named five centers right now.
I
named five centers. Hold on now. You asked me a question. Can I talk? I named five centers right now who, if you're asking me if I take in a big spot and in a season, I take Malone, Elijah Wan, Wilt, Kareem. Who's my fifth? I got on Russell. I forget Russell. Kareem, Will, Elijah Wan, Malone. Shaq is not as good as those guys.
Hold on. I will stand down. First of all, you missed a couple. When you talk about conversations, you talk about Bill Russell, the ultimate champion, the 11-time champions. You're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all-time leading scorer, 19-time All-Star, 6 championships, 6 league MVPs. We get that, right? Hell, Olajuwon's got 2 chips. Bill Walton's got a couple of chips, even though the second one came with Boston, with Bird and Parrish and all
of
those boys.
That's another one. I forgot.
I am telling you right now. I said dominant. I wasn't talking about, oh, my goodness, he was better. He certainly wasn't a better free throw shooter, for example. But the bottom line is this. When you talk about dominant big men, there's Wilt Chamberlain and there's Shaquille O'Neal. Who would refute that other than Doggy?
Steven,
who would refute that other than Doggy?
Give me some
Nobody.
Centers that the one
what?
Time he played against Elijah when he got swept. Was he dominant
in that
series?
He's a four-time champion.
He got swept.
Excuse me?
When he went against Elijah, when he got swept. You forget
so what?
That? He got
He's
swept.
Young. He's young.
I
forget it.
I'll tell you something else. I'm going to bother you some more.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to bother you some more.
I can't believe that the words are coming out of your mouth.
This is before you were born. You were a little bouncing around Queens with your little nookie. This is before you were born. You know who's the best center that I ever saw play in a one season? And you're going to laugh. You're going to say you're nuts. I saw all the games. You know who the best one was? Walton. 76-77 Trailblazers. Go look it up.
Yes. Time. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Hall of Famers on his team.
Stop.
Davey Twardzik.
Stop.
Johnny Depp. Let me talk.
Let me spin.
Bobby Davis.
I did let you talk. I have been letting you talk.
Larry Steele. Lucas. What? There was no Hall of Famers. Walton killed Kareem.
Oh, stop it. Stop running your mouth. Stop running your mouth with your blasphemy.
Listen. How's that?
Time out. Let me say this to you. Because you didn't know I knew this, all right? You had Dr. J, you had McGinnis, you had all of those boys, and it wasn't enough. They were up 2-0, and then Bill Walton and Maurice Lucas and Lionel Hollins and the Portland Trailblazers came back and won 4 straight. I remember, damn it, okay? I'm not a fool. I watched those games because I was rooting for Dr. J, and it didn't happen. See, you thought you was the only one that knew that. I knew that, too. And Bill Walton was absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. I got it. But what I said to you was this. I'm talking about brute power, mass, strength, unstoppable in the low post. What a big man prototypically is supposed to be. The most dominant big man in the history of the game was Will Chamberlain. And number two was Shaquille O'Neal. Everybody knows that. He's a 4-time champion. Walton's got 2. Olajuwon's got 2. Okay, Moses Malone, he's got 1. He lost the Bird in them when he was in Houston. Twin Towers, him and Ralph Sampson. You remember that? But he lost, didn't he? The bottom line is this. He had to go to Philadelphia to win the chip. Let's not forget that. I respect the hell out of Moses Malone. God rest his soul. But when you talk about Shaquille O'Neal, Moses Malone was unstoppable in the low post, and he was a just devout rebounder. But he wasn't a great defensive player. And let me tell you something right now. Will Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, 1 and 2 in terms of dominance. And Allen Iverson, when you talk about Ja Morant, Ja Morant is going to be everything you said because Allen Iverson preceded him. You respect the people who paved the way before you. Period. Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal.
He's giving you a history lesson.
This is first take.
You respect your left. He's telling you to pay attention to your history.
You're better than that. Yeah. You're better. Go ahead.
No.
Hey, tell me to shut up. It's your turn.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Molly, he didn't know I knew that. He didn't know I knew that about Bill Walton.
Yeah, go look at the billboards.
Go watch Sullivan and 56. Let's go.
Those billboards. Those billboards are coming down. Ja Morant billboards are going up.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go now. We'll do a little history lesson, and we'll give you a little list as far as this is usually Stephen A's list. We learned a couple weeks ago that the quarterback's a disaster. So instead, we jumped in. We did the Hall of Fame, the top 5 teams last week in the NBA history. Steve hadn't seen any of them, but we did them anyway. All right, here's the list now. Obviously, LeBron is 2. Now, here's my top 5. It's a surprise that this is based on my own eyes. Number 5, right here, is Pistol Pete Maravich. If you're going to laugh, averaged 44 a game in college his senior year at LSU, and no three-point shooting in those days. They didn't count them in the NBA. Go look at those statistics from New Orleans. Go look at those statistics from the Atlanta Hawks. This guy averaged 31, 32 a game, shot 44, 45% from the field, scored 63 on Clyde one night against the Knicks. Frazier's told me on the air, Chris, there wasn't a person, God, couldn't have stopped Pistol that night. This is one of the all-time great ball handlers in the history of the league, who is a tremendous long-range shooter with no three-point shot. He would have averaged 50 a game in the backcourt If there was a three-point shot in his heyday in the 70s, he's number five. It's not even debatable. He's number five. Number four, this is easy enough for number four because the next four is Kobe. You have to put Kobe, 81 points, of course, against Toronto. This is an unbelievable assassin. This is a guy who loved scoring points. This is an all. Listen, nobody's going to argue with this. Kobe's the fourth greatest scorer in the history of the NBA. I don't know. I don't care what the statistics say. I'm not interested. You get your basket, go to the free throw line, go to the hole, do everything great. He's number four. Stevie, I think, would agree with that. Number three. Now, you could switch this any way you want, the top three. I'm going to put Wilt at three. I understand he averaged 50 a game. I understand he scored 100 points against the Knicks in Hershey, PA in 1962. I know all about Wilt. I know all about his statistics, his passing, his rebounding, his dipsy-do. The only thing you don't like about Wilt, he can't make a free throw. That's the only thing you don't like about Wilt. Only won the two championships. That bothers me, too. This is no crime putting him number three. People are going to say, Chris, how can you put him number three? Average 50 points a game in a season. Like Frank McGuire, 62. I get it. I'll put him number three. I'm putting Kareem number two. He had an unstoppable, unblockable shot. That hook, sky hook, was unstoppable. He'd get it off anytime he wanted to get it off. And if you think I'm crazy, here's what I want you to do tonight. Go back and look at the 74 NBA final against Boston and go take a peek at game six against the Celtics in overtime when he was a young player. Oscar was old. Chaney and JoJo White ran Oscar out of the league. Go watch Kareem's performance in that game. Go watch it. He's number two, and he was a great free throw shooter. Much better than people think. Remember those two free throws he made against Detroit, which won game seven in the NBA final, the last championship he won.
Oh, will you get to number one?
Let me finish.
Get to number one. Get to number one. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Who's one? Put him up there. You got it, baby. Michael J. He is number one. No debate. Nobody's going to argue. This is the greatest offensive machine in the history of the NBA. Score anytime he wanted to. 63 at the Boston Garden against Parrish, McHale, Walton, Bird, DJ, and Ainge. Now, I should have put Elgin Baylor on here. I had no place to put him. I considered that. Laugh all you want. I considered Bob Pettit. I can't put Bob Pettit on here. LeBron, we all know where LeBron is historically as an all-around player. And you can talk about Karl Malone until your cows come home. You can have him. I don't want him. I'm putting Jordan 1, Kareem 2, Wilt, Kobe, and you're going to laugh. Look it up. Right here, baby. Pistol at number 5. There's your list. Go ahead. Let me hear. Iverson's not on the list. By the way.
You started off your list.
Yeah.
Horrible. Get Pete Maravich the hell off of there, okay? 1970 to 1980. I don't care. Just stop it. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. It's good. Listen. Here's my whole point. First of all, I have no problem with, well, of course I agree with Michael Jordan being number one. All right, Kareem and Wilt, you got to put them up there. Kareem's the all-time leading scorer. Wilt Chamberlain was unstoppable. So those three I'll give you. Kobe's actually debatable, but I'm not going to fight with him in the top five because I believe in the Black Mamba. I just want to say this to you, doggy. So, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter God has ever created. He's a 90% career shooter from the free throw line, and he's a career 25-point-per-game scorer. And you talked about Pete Maravich being up there and what he would have been if there were a three-point shot.
He would have
but we've seen what Steph Curry is with his three-point shot. Okay, excuse me, with his three-point shot, okay? So that's number one. We just going to leave LeBron, who's a career 27-point-per-game scorer, out of it. Just going to leave LeBron off there. Just going to leave him. That's what we going to do, doggy? That's what we going to do? And oh, by
you
the way, last but not
these
least.
People. You're making it sound like I got to, Anthony Mason's not on the list. Look at these people here.
Exactly. Listen. I'm looking at them. That's why I said. The top four. Listen. Number one is not debatable. Two, three, and four are legitimate. I'm just simply asking a question. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant may be the second great, at the end of his career, he may be the second greatest scorer we have ever seen in the history of basketball. I'm talking about the eye test. I'm not talking about numbers. What he could do, he's a career 27-point-per-game scorer, like LeBron. He is a marksman extraordinaire. He is 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan. He's got a mid-range game. He's got a three-point game. He's got an open court game. He's got a handle. He can hit free throws. What can't Kevin Durant do offensively? How do you sit up there and put a Pete Maravich above him? I would tell you as a scorer, I'd actually put him ahead of Kobe.
Not bad on Durant, as I love him too. But we got a little homework assignment for you. 56 Sullivan with Elvis. When you go back to your suite, you got an hour or two before the NBA countdown. And then I want you to go back and I want you to take any game out you want. 73, 75, the New Orleans, Atlanta, any game you want. But find the game against Clyde and that great Knick team. And find the game that Pistol had 63. And when you're doing that,
You're talking about a moment.
Average 31 a game. Now, come on, stop. When you're doing that, I want you to count how many three-point shots
he averaged
over
34 times. You discounted that? He averaged over 31 year in 10. Allen Iverson averaged over 34 times, and you dismissed
Iverson.
It.
Can we lay low
How you
with
do
Iverson?
That?
We get, you like him. We have figured that out.
The answer.
Can we take it easy?
All right, gentlemen.
That's my little brother right there. You have lost your mind.
Breaking news coming up next in the NFL regarding a major superstar. We will give you that news and all the reaction in just a moment. First Take, we'll be right back. You did a good job.
Something wrong with Doug. Good job.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Breaking news into First Take this morning out of the NFL. Adam Schefter tweeting this. The Jets and Dolphins in serious talks to trade for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill per league sources. Hill and the Chiefs are mulling what to do. But Hill's time in KC looks like it could be coming to an end. Stephen A., thoughts on this?
Couple of things that I want to say. Number one, if Tyreek Hill leaves the Chiefs, you can scratch them as a Super Bowl contender. I don't give a damn what anybody says. The Cheetah is something special, and he deserves his money from that team. Just look at his play against Buffalo. That last touchdown when he caught a pass over the middle and scampered down the side, the right sideline, waving goodbye to defenders as Buffalo looked utterly helpless, okay? This brother is something special. The only person that I find more valuable on the Chiefs offense than him is Mahomes and Kelsey. Nobody else comes close. That's number one. Number two, to Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, don't you even think about going to the Jets or the Dolphins. Okay? I'm sorry. Don't you even think about it. You don't want to get contaminated by the Jets organization. They need to prove a lot more before they deserve the services the likes of you. Okay? They need to make sure their quarterback can throw. They need to make sure they got a head coach that knows something about the offensive side of the ball, because it clearly didn't look like that last year. There's no way in hell he should want to be in New York. From a football perspective, from a marketing perspective, oh, he'd make gobs and gobs of money that way. But from a football perspective, hell no. And last but not least, you don't want to end up with the Dolphins, because Tua Tagovailoa hasn't proven that he can coach, that he can quarterback on the NFL level. So the bottom line is, if you don't have somebody that can throw you the football, you're going to be humbled real quick. You have been spoiled playing with Patrick Mahomes. You go from that to the quarterbacks they've got in New York or Miami, respectively. You want to know what misery looks like? You're about to find out if you make one of those choices. I can promise you that. So that's the message I would send to Tyreek Hill. But in the end, the Kansas City Chiefs, there's no way in hell you should lose this man. You need to find every way you can to keep Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, in Kansas City, because he is that electrifying, and you don't find dudes like him every day. He is a generational talent from the wide receiver standpoint. Absolutely.
It is quite the departure to potentially go from the Chiefs to the Dolphins or the Jets.
I generally agree with Steve. The one thing I would say here, it's a little bit like Devontae Adams. If you're Tyreek Hill
and you want to be paid like Devontae Adams, all right, I get it. Business decision, football, yeah. Short career. Why would you leave Mahomes to go play for Tua? Take less money, stay in Kansas City, and play in big games. Because the Zach Wilson kid might be good for the Jets, so I don't want to kill them yet because he's got a lot of ability. But if you're Tariq Hill, why would you leave Kelsey? Why would you cleave Juju Schuster, who they just signed, and Andy Reid, who's a big coach, great coach offensively?
Yeah.
Why would you decide to leave those and the quarterback, who's young and great? Why would you decide to leave them to go play with Miami for Tua for a couple of dollars?
It's not because they're going to pay him. It's not a football decision. Clearly, it's the money or the city.
Whoa! I don't support him going to New York or Miami either. But what do you mean for a couple of dollars?
We don't know what the Chiefs are going to pay him, Steve.
You're a businessman. You know what? Listen. Excuse me. They're not paying him close to what New York or Miami might pay him. Doggy's a businessman. Doggy makes big-time business decisions. You ain't broke. What are you talking about? A couple of dollars. Well, you better stop that drivel. You better stop that right now. That's a lot of money we're talking about here now.
How about winning championships?
It's about the money. What are you talking about? I'm about the championships.
He's not winning a championship.
And he's not
going
to win it in New York either. He's trying to get paid.
Stephen, you're also the one that's obsessed with locations. Maybe he wants to be in Miami or New York City. Maybe he's done with Kansas City and he's going to make more money and it's a lifestyle decision.
Hold it. I am not throwing any shade on the location that is South Beach. Not at all. I'm simply pointing out that the bottom line is he wants his money. I just don't think that's the place to go to get it. Because he ain't going to win in those two places.
Well, that's the point.
You
want
to have
that's
a chance to win while you
point.
Get an exorbitant. Wait a minute. Devontae Adams, he went from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. But the Las Vegas Raiders have a chance. You see what I'm saying? That's entirely different. Now, some would say Miami, but as far as I'm concerned, with Brian Flores gone, okay, with that cesspool up there, you know, down there in their South Beach, with your quarterback situation being the way that it is, you as an organization passing on the opportunity to draft Justin Herbert. Remember, Miami had the 5th pick. The Chargers had the 6th. They picked Tua. Chargers had Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert was in Miami, we'd be singing a different tune about the Miami Dolphins. And I tell you one thing, we wouldn't be automatically assuming that the Buffalo Bills are going to win a division and Brian Flores wouldn't have been out of a job suing the Miami Dolphins because Stephen Ross and them wouldn't have had any issues. They'd have been in Miami winning some damn football games and they'd have been in the playoffs.
100%. When you go by, I agree with you on that. When you look at Tyreek's history 20 years from now, what are you going to remember? Well, how much money he made? No. You are going to remember 3rd and 15.
Would you stop with the memories?
3rd and 15. I love you. 3rd and 15 against San Francisco, which fueled their comeback in the Super Bowl. That's what you're going to remember. That play. That sequence. He goes to Miami. I don't care how much money he gets paid. He goes to the Jets. That's not going to happen. He's going to get his money. He's going to get money. I mean, what is that? What, $50 million instead of $40 million? Why would you sit there and give up this quarterback and that coach with that franchise when they're in a championship game every year to go sit there with a quarterback who can't get the ball to you and Tua or Wilson who no idea, nobody knows if he's any good yet? Why would you leave for an extra couple of dollars? Why? That doesn't make any sense. First of all,
stop saying an extra couple of dollars. Stop it. That's a hell of a lot more than an extra couple of dollars. That's number one. Number two, last time I checked, the AFC West was looking pretty damn tough these days with the Chargers, with Denver, with the Las Vegas Raiders. It ain't going to be a cakewalk. And number three, I remember this big time show called Mike and the Mad Dog. Well, it was an institution. It started Talk Radio. Time out. It was doing its thing. Okay. Well, you know something? Mad Dog left. And why? But they got his own damn channel. And I'm sure that wasn't for an extra few bucks. Okay. So guess what?
You
made a business decision. What's wrong with Tyreek Hill doing that? You got to be kidding me, man. Oh, please. Talk about hypocrisy. Stop it.
Championships.
Hey, that's right.
He was there 19 years.
They give him his money.
They have been there for 19 years.
Give him his money.
Couple of dollars.
He's been here. He's been one, two,
rings.
Three,
you know
four.
The wear and tear on his body. It's about two words.
He's been there 6 years.
Guaranteed money.
Steve loves the money.
Molly. Molly.
You're an NFL player. Nothing's guaranteed. You need that guaranteed
football.
Money.
NFL players,
both of you.
He's a Super Bowl champion. 6 years in an NFL city is tantamount to 19 years at a radio station. Super Bowl championship.
No.
Yes, it is. And 2 years.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
No, that math is bad.
Yeah, come on. You're better than that.
With you, Stephen A. 6 to 19. Come on. At least give me 10.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
No stars, no problem for the Sixers, who took down the Heat on Monday night. Tyrese Maxey held it down for the Sixers while both Joel Embiid and James Harden rested. Doc Rivers says that the Sixers were just being careful by not starting the two. Embiid, who has made playing regularly a priority this season, has never played more than 64 games in a season, while Harden has missed time this season with a hamstring injury but has played 11 out of 17 games since joining Philly. Mad Dog, do you have an issue with Doc resting Harden and Embiid?
Absolutely. This load management's a joke. I mean, what, the regular season? And they're fighting for some positioning as far as home court is concerned. This load, we're going to hurt the quality of the and the credibility of the regular season by sitting these two guys out because you got to give them a little break. Jordan didn't, you know, when Sacramento played the Bulls on a January night in 1992 and he had won championships and it's 2 degrees outside, Jordan played the game. Bird played 81 games a year, bad back, concussions, the whole nine yards. Magic played. Kareem played. Kareem played 82 games every year. Wilt played every minute of every game every year. And these guys are playing 50, 60 games a year, and they're going to take a blow? I mean, how about the fans who spend a fortune and go to the games? And they want to buy, you know what, Philly's in town tonight. I want to see Embiid play. I buy the ticket. And he's not playing in the game. I have a major problem with it, and I personally think it really hurts the credibility of the regular season. What are you telling us? Yeah. You're telling us to give them anything. You know, tonight we don't care if we win or lose. I'm not going to play Embiid, and I'm not going to play Harden. I hate it. I think that's a major problem. I think the commissioner should step up long time ago and do something about it. You can't have your stars not playing the games with the chart, with the ticket prices, ratings, and the fact that they're playing for something. This is not game 81 when everything is settled. They're still playing for home court. Oh, it drives me crazy. I can't stand it. Drives me crazy.
Stephen A.
Doggy, we don't disagree, man. On a very, very serious level, we don't. Because I think that it is a problem. I think the commissioner and the league owners need to intervene. And I have never been one. I just called it down the middle and reported what I was seeing. But I didn't take sides with collective bargaining negotiations. If collective bargaining negotiations were to begin today, I would side with the owners. You have missed games. Seasons have been compromised because of COVID. And then you have a situation where you look at Ben Simmons and what was going on with him. You look at Kyrie Irving and what is going on with him. It's egregious. It's egregious. And even though the vast majority of players don't engage in those things, the reality of the situation is that it is an incredibly bad look. And one of the things that's important to point out, Doggy, and I know this for a fact, a lot of times players are getting blamed for stuff that trainers and team doctors enforced. Because at the behest of executives within the teams, what happened is to protect themselves, looking forward to the playoffs and to protect the investment that they have made in a particular player, I have been told that there have been many situations where a player wants to play and owners and team trainers and team executives collaborate to keep them sitting down and not allowing them to play. Either way you slice it, it's a problem. But Kyrie and Ben Simmons, nobody is really taking into account the damage that the positions that they have taken have done to the game as it pertains to the players. Because you're not going to get any sympathy from the public when you go to the collective bargaining table and they bring up Kyrie and they bring up Ben Simmons and what was transpiring in Philly. I'm not talking about his back injury now in Brooklyn. I'm talking about a whole mental health issue and all that stuff. You're not going to get anybody to be sympathetic to all of that when it comes to Ben Simmons. And you're certainly not going to get anybody to be sympathetic when it comes to Kyrie Irving. OK. And so as a result of that, I do get where you're coming from. Here's my point. I'm not that big against it as it pertains to what happened the other night with Embiid and Harden. Embiid has played 58 games this year. For the most part, he's been there. Harden usually does not miss games. This is not a guy that wants to miss games, okay? And so when I look at that and the way that the Philadelphia 76ers had been struggling because they traded away half their damn team and questions of depth came into the equation, the fact that they went on the court against Miami the other night without Embiid and Harden and beat the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, I think is something that benefited Tobias Harris. I think it's something that benefited Tyrese Maxey and Thibault and the rest of those guys, and I think it's going to be helpful. Overall, I'm with you on your point, 1,000%. But as it strictly pertains to what happened with Harden and Embiid the other night, I understood where they were coming from. Both of them tweaked stuff a little bit. They weren't themselves, and they're about to make a stretch run. And in Harden's case, he doesn't miss games. And in Embiid's case, he's been perpetually injury-prone. So right. You do have to be overly concerned about any little thing that happens to him. And they still won the game.
Fair. And, you know, Popovich used to do this all the time, and he won the games, too. And he rested Duncan and Ginobili and Parker. I'm all for that. I don't want to kill. This is really not about Harden, and it's not about Embiid, because you're right on both counts. Embiid's been injured a lot. Unhardened plays. I buy that. It's the theory that we are going to treat the NBA regular season as sort of an exhibition run.
Yeah.
We're playoff 55 games,
right,
and that's the end of it. And here's the problem. The stars in the league know that home court doesn't mean anything. Durant knows that he can win a game 7 on the road. The old days, the home court meant everything. Nowadays, these guys know they're so good that they can win a game 7 in Memphis. They can win a game 7 anywhere. They're that good. They can win a game 7 in Milwaukee. So they say, you know what? I'm not that wrapped up on a home court. I'm not wrapped up on sitting. Just get me into the playoffs and I'll be okay. But it's a terrible. How am I supposed to get all wrapped up on the NBA regular season when half the stars only played 55, 60 games? I think it's a major.
It's not even about that.
Go ahead.
It's not even about that. It's about them not showing that they. It's about them at times acting as if they're nonchalant about
it.
See,
that's what it's about.
Michael Jordan knew he was the marquee. Kobe knew he was the marquee. LeBron knows he's the marquee. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry knows he's a marquee. So they take it seriously. They embrace the ambassadorship that they hold within the game.
Yep.
And they do what they can to uplift the sport. Too many guys today that don't care about that.
100%.
That's the real problem.
100%. I agree with you 1,000%. He's right on. It drives me crazy. And the fans get mad.
Of course
they get mad.
Got a fortune
on these games and the guys don't play.
A lot of money. Yep.
Come on, it's not fair.
Of course.
That's not what you do.
I'm sorry.
I talked long enough.
No, you were great. Stephen A., we got a little surprise for you since you're down in Memphis. Blue suede shoes.
Yes.
Looking good from Memphis, SA. Like you fit in down there. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance.
Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Well, I got a history lesson today. Elvis Presley. What did he invent? Rock and roll, baby?
That's what he sure did.
1956, down there, Memphis, Tennessee. CVA, that one's for you. So with that being said, you know, NBA Countdown live from Memphis today. NBA Today live. All our NBA stars out there excited. Who is the bigger star? Is it Ja Morant or Elvis Presley? Stephen A., I'll start with you.
Well, clearly it's Elvis Presley because there's still billboards up here from him, even though he died in 1977. It's been 45 years since the man passed away. God rest his soul. And still, there's billboards with Elvis on it. I know because I just finished driving through the city and I saw billboards of Elvis Presley, okay?
Pause.
And we see all the Elvis imitators out there. I got it. I got it, but it needs to be Ja Morant.
I don't believe you. I'd like to see a photo of you in front of one of these billboards. If you could make that happen, have one of your people take a photo of you. We need to see that for the show tomorrow. Yeah, well, I want to see it. I want proof of all these billboards everywhere.
Molly. I understand you feel the need to see it, but there is nobody in this nation that has ran through this city that is remotely denying that I am telling you the truth.
Yeah, I haven't
there
seen it.
There are billboards with Memphis. Elvis on it.
I haven't been to Memphis.
Okay, there, Elvis.
On a night in 56, in Hibbing, Minnesota, Freehold, New Jersey, and Gainesville, Florida, there were three people who turned to rock and roll because of Elvis and with Ed Sullivan. Their names, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, and Tom Petty.
Oh, Bruce.
Keep those billboards going.
I like Bruce Springsteen now. Dancing in the dark.
Bruce,
I know something about Bruce Springsteen. I know
that. You're bringing a lot
of money. You give me Ed Sullivan, I'll give you Johnny Carson.
Ed Sullivan.
But they still Stephen Gobert now and Jimmy Kimmel.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.